A blonde and a brunette walk into a bar, a room, to talk about Jesus, exploring God's word, tackling topics no one likes talking about, discussing biblical truths, and dodging bad theology on the way. This is Her Theology. Okay, hello. Here we are. Another episode. Well, the final, the very, very finalist, most momentous, not momentous.
Who knows? We may come back to this in the following years.
No, we're not coming back to the seven deadly sins ever again. I don't want to.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. But, but welcome to our very last episode here at Her Theology. And if you are joining us for the very first time, my name is
Cass. Our very last episode of this series.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. And my name is Cass.
And I am Cursed.
Yes, and welcome to Her Theology. So, Cursed, what have you learnt that's new this week?
Okay.
Or, well, just in general. It doesn't have to be this week.
No, it was in the last week that I learnt this. Did you know, and hopefully nobody judges me out there because I feel like I didn't know this and I should have.
Okay, that's what I hate when I do those ones because I'm like, I swear people are just going to turn off the podcast.
idiots. The ozone layer is repairing itself and it should be repaired by 2050.
Does that mean we don't have to wear sunscreen in 2050 in Australia?
I don't think that's what it means. You know how it's got a hole in it?
That's cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It's like, I've decided that
that's cool for Australians because we're like right under it,
really,
aren't we?
Really, really, really sunburned. The ozone layer is like the skin to the world and it can heal itself.
So when it gets burnt, it peels.
It just peels
in Australia, it just got too burnt.
Grows back.
That's amazing.
I think it has something to do with carbon emissions. Anyway.
Oh, don't go down that rabbit hole. That's
so
the last
didn't.
Thing you want to be doing.
Anyway, what did you learn?
Global climate change. No, I'm joking.
I was like, wow, we're really in sync this week.
Global climate change, that's not even a thing. Global warming, climate. Yeah, I was just trying to use all the trigger words then. Mm. Anyway, whatever.
Triggered.
I learnt, Kirst already knows this because it was on our Bible study WhatsApp. And I said to Kirst, you can't take it. It's my new fact. But our dear friend Lucy, her animals are having all the babies and her rabbit had a bunch of babies while we're having Bible study and no one noticed outside.
We weren't inside. We weren't outside. No.
The kids were outside and they didn't even notice. Mm. Anyway.
With people.
Yeah, with supervisors. We don't just let them roam for free. Free range children at Bible study. Anyway. Do we need to do the cricket sound effect then?
Oh, crickets.
No. Anyway, sorry, we are getting to the point. What's the point?
You're talking about
bunny rabbits. Yes. Yeah. Bunny rabbits. I didn't know this. I thought it was pretty cool that the mum bunny rabbit will pull out its fur and put it in the nest so it can keep the little babies warm and then it also expose the little teats so they can milk.
It's
drink their milk.
Cool and it's gross, but it's cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, you heard it here first.
Like their little blanket.
Yes. So we are going to wrap up the seven deadly sins finally. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to do this episode because, you know, often when you talk about something or you have a really in-depth conversation or potentially an argument with someone, you walk away and you go, I should have said that thing.
Mm. And for Cass and I, we've been thinking about this for, well, our babies are now 12 and 13 weeks old, almost 13 and 14 weeks old. And we started recording this series before we had them. So we feel like this has been going on for a really long time.
Yeah, that's actually a really, really good point. We've been dwelling on this stuff for a long time. Mm. So there's a lot. Obviously, you can't talk about everything in an episode, but we just thought we would do in this episode is kind of like recap each sin.
Mm. It's probably more for us than you, but anyway. Yeah.
But hey, it might be a good starting point for some people and they go, oh, I want to go back and listen to that episode.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't know. You never know. Mm. But we also thought because on the flip side of every sin is the fact we've talked a lot about how sins, like we pursue sin and how it impacts us, but also we never really addressed in any of the episodes we shouldn't be doing these things like causing people to sin and that we can actually be the person that causes someone to sin in all these areas.
Yep.
So did you want to say anything on that?
Yeah. Well, I guess, there's a couple of passages. Well, there's a lot of Bible passages on causing other people to sin.
Mm.
But let me read out to Matthew 18:6-9. Jesus says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin.
Mm.
For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the fire of hell." So Jesus is warning both, I guess, the sinner and the one who's causing someone to sin there.
Who is still a sinner. But yeah. Yeah, but yeah.
But he's just, yeah, saying like.
The reason for
it. It's not something you want to be involved in, basically. Mm, work hard against it. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And so we were kind of thinking like in all of these different sins, gluttony, greed, pride, lust, anger, slothfulness, we can actually serve each other by pushing each other forward and helping each other not give in to these sins as well.
Yeah. And I think also another point of that is like, you know, if you've listened to these episodes on the seven deadly sins and you're learning a lot about them, maybe it's not something you necessarily massively struggled with. I think we all struggle with every sin at some time, but at some point. But maybe listening to the episodes has highlighted, oh, I can see that person's really struggling with it. Obviously, take the log out of your own eye first and maybe assess whether that's something you would struggling with. But if it's not something you're struggling with, being aware of like how your behaviors are maybe influencing that for them, because generally speaking, sometimes unintentionally we can cause someone to sin because, say, it's not something we struggle with, you know. So like, say a great example, lust. You have friends come over for dinner, you decide to all watch a movie. You may not struggle necessarily with a comedy that has girls in bikinis in it. But that could be very much causing the men in the room or a female that's struggling with sexual addiction or whatever to lust. So just being super aware.
Yep.
So sometimes we can unintentionally cause someone to stumble as well. And so I think it's just being really good that there might have been episodes where you're like, I don't struggle with that, I'm not going to listen. But maybe it might be worth listening or looking into, so that way you can actually be aware of how you could be potentially causing someone to stumble in that area unintentionally as well.
Yeah. Because we are all a body of Christ, and so it's not about us. It's about helping each other mature in following Jesus. So we just wanted to touch on each of the sins.
Yeah.
And kind of have a few wrap-up comments for each.
What do you want to start with? Because I didn't write them down.
Let's go in my order.
Okay, good.
Gluttony.
Okay, yeah. You know what I thought of after the fact? I was like, what about I know I can be the little devil on the shoulder when my friends are over and they're like, I'm trying to be healthy, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, it's okay. You can just have a little bit with me. Like, you got to treat yourself and not understanding. Actually, this could be more of like a psychological battle for them that I'm not helping.
Yeah.
So I just thought of that. After the fact for myself. And then I was thinking of that passage where Paul says,
let your yes be yes and your no be no.
No, I was more thinking of like eating food.
Sacrifice to idols.
Sacrifice to idols and people and their conscience. So for all the vegan lovers out there, you know, it's okay. Not everyone's got the same conviction as you. So not enforcing that conviction. That's what I thought of. Maybe I said that in the episode. I don't remember, but... I have had vegan. Kirst just lost it.
I'm good.
I have had veganism shoved down my throat from a Christian perspective. And so just realizing we also don't want to create this guilty conscience for something that is not. Yeah, yeah. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
They're my thoughts on gluttony.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this was something that I used to do when I was younger, but like, I guess ways that we can cause each other to stumble in gluttony is you go to your friend's house and it's like you're going to watch a movie, so you bring heaps and heaps and heaps of snacks.
Overindulgence.
Yeah, it's just like it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
And you just go home feeling gross and then it leads to self-loathing and all of these things that just don't need to be a part of us. Yeah, I mean, it might be a thing for maybe the younger. I don't know. Yeah, do you think?
No, I'd still do it now.
Yeah, okay.
And because gluttony as well is really heavily linked to greed, right?
Mm.
I think.
Yeah.
Because often it's like,
more.
I've got a little bit more money. I'm just going to get it. Well, oh, it's on sale. I just get this little bit more. And it's like, actually, no, I don't need it.
Yeah. They're very similar. But I guess like what you were saying, ways we can cause each other stumble is encouraging unhealthy habits over healthy habits. So if somebody's told you, I'm trying to be healthy, blah, 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 just be like, yeah, cool. And that's that. It doesn't need to be a thing.
You don't need to. Yes, that's right. And even asking them how they can help, because I think as well, a lot of the times it's emotional.
Yeah.
You know, so like trying to drag them down with you is not going to help in any way, shape or form.
Yeah. And then I was thinking about ways we could encourage each other. The one other thing I thought about for gluttony, and I don't know if this is more gluttony or greed, but there is that crossover. And I know that I used to do this, and I know that you've said it before on the podcast. When you have a bit more surplus, maybe what I'm thinking before I had kids, before I was, when I was at the start of my marriage, but before I was married as well, you just spend your money on takeout.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, you just buy something because you're hungry. Just like being a bit more thought through about that. Like that's wasted money.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got stuff at home, it's just like, I don't know. I'd see things come up on social media and that kind of thing that's like, feed this person for, you know, or buy these biblical resources for $60 and it will go for 6 months. Like that was a true ad that came up the other day and I just thought, we could go out for dinner for $100. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's just
–
And I'm not talking about special occasions and I'm not talking about sometimes. Not talking about going out on a date with your husband. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the frivolous
– Yes.
Oh, let's just grab KFC.
Because I can't be bothered.
Because I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
I think that, and I don't know if that fits into gluttony or greed, but it's, anyway, it just popped into my head and I thought, that might be worth mentioning. But what other ways can we encourage each other to not be gluttonous? I thought maybe don't catch, like if it is something that you struggle with, don't make the event about food. Catch up with a person, go for a walk.
Yeah.
Do you know
what
I mean? Yeah. Like if it's something that you're really struggling with.
Yeah. No, 100%. That's good. Yeah. Should we go into greed then?
Because let's do.
That was a good little
segue.
We talked a lot about greed. I don't really have much to add actually.
Well, I guess like ways we could cause each other to stumble would be encouraging. Like if you've got a friend who's got the surplus to upgrade, it's easy to get caught up in what they have and be like, oh yeah, you should get that XYZ. Do you know what I mean?
Don't encourage people to be in debt.
Yeah, no. Don't do
that's
that.
Something that's really big. Like I've heard a lot of people being like, I need a new car. I'm going to go get a loan.
Yeah.
Well, do you need a new car?
Yeah.
Like is it just because just you need a new car because you want something that is new and looks nicer? Mm. Or is it because you actually physically can't fit your kids or it's broken down to the point of no repair? You know, like just because putting someone in debt is actually not something we want to be doing.
No.
So like willy-nilly.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just get a loan. Just get a credit card.
Oh, don't. Stay away from credit cards, people.
Oh, my gosh. Do not promote people to do, what is it, Afterpay?
Oh,
Afterpay and Zip or LaterPay and whatever. That is dangerous territory. Yeah. Do not.
Yeah.
Do not get sucked into that. No. If you are considering buying something spontaneously and you have to afterpay it, You should not be meant to get it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Because that is greed right there.
Yeah. So thinking about ways we could encourage each other, I know that for me, I really like, I mean, not that I ever get to do it these days, but to go shopping. Maybe, you know, if that's the thing that you want to do, have a clothes swap.
Because
there's no dollars involved in that.
I'm all about that.
And then, you know, yep. So that
as long as your friends are your size,
true. We get a group together at church, and it's fun, and it is. You know, whatever. And have one person in your life that knows about your giving status. So we're talking about greed right now. What's your giving? You know, how much are you giving? Just so that one person knows, so that you're accountable. I'm not saying you go shout it from the rooftops and become, you know.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm not saying that. But I am saying tell someone about your finances so that they know, so that you're held accountable. Because that's another thing. Like, yeah, all of these things, there is a secrecy about them.
Yeah, not telling – you're not saying, like, tell people – tell someone every time you give something away. No. But as in, like, be vulnerable and transparent with your finances to someone. Yep. So that they can help you steward it well.
If that's something you're struggling with, I would, yep, do a breakdown and I would share it with someone.
Yeah, and yep, they can help you. Yes, yep, I agree.
Anger. How do we cause each other to sin in anger?
Oh, this is a long, long list.
Yeah. I mean, what immediately comes to my mind is encouraging the vent, encouraging, yes, the gossip,
yeah,
encouraging the slander. It's easy, 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 easy to do. And it's easy to think you're not the one who's sinning at that point. But if you're encouraging, mm-hmm, it, mate.
You're causing someone, yeah, to anger.
Yeah.
Also, ignoring confrontation when the other person knows that there's an issue.
Mm.
So say you've had an argument with a friend or a family member or whatever. Not argument, sorry. Something has happened between you two. Mm-hmm. That person knows that you are angry, but you are not addressing it. You're not willing to come to the table and be like, yeah, I'm hurt because of X, Y, Z or this happened. You are then causing that person into anger because generally speaking, they're going to get frustrated and pissed off with you that you haven't spoken to them about it and then they're going to dwell on it and then they're going to think of negative things.
So if both of you just go for it.
Yeah, just work through confrontation, mm, work through anger because actually ignoring it is going to fuel the anger for someone else,
mm,
down the track.
Mm.
Get your A3 piece of paper out. If you don't know that reference, you'll have to look back, yeah, a few episodes.
getting too tired or too done in where you haven't had some, you know, time to just relax, especially I'm talking, I guess, to the mums in that. Mm. If you haven't had a time to refresh, I know that that's what does it for me. That just leads me down the path of anger.
And I just lead my children into anger.
Or they get
angry. They feed off mine.
Greed. No. They get the brunt of the anger or something. You know what, yeah, I mean? Yeah,
but I do lead. I've seen my attitude lead my rub children off into on anger.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally.
100%.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Same. And also don't bait people. So if you know, as if a lot of us aren't going to resonate with this right now, and I have done it a lot in my life, I will confess, when I have information or juice or something like that about something that I know is going to trigger someone, and it's going to cause drama, like – that was something I've struggled with, particularly when I was younger.
Mm.
I can think of a lot of times when I was younger when I would do that, be like, oh, so-and-so, like, and I'd just drop a hint of something,
yeah,
you know, and I knew it was going to inflame.
Mm-hmm.
And so that too is really causing someone to sin,
yep,
into anger.
Yeah. So I was thinking about ways we could encourage each other to fight against anger and – if you're an older listener out there, someone who's older in age, I mean,
life advice,
and you've got life advice, then encourage the younger people. If you've overcome anger, tell someone about it because who's struggling with it. Because I think that it can be this mountain that is never going to be overcome, yes, to some people,
yep,
and so all I would say there is, yeah, talk to somebody who's a lot older than you about how they've dealt with it in their life, in their different stages, but also talk about the daily wins against anger. So maybe you're not going to get over the mountain this side of heaven, but I'm sure you're going to have wins along the way. So tell your friend who's, you know, your accountability partner about those wins.
Yeah, because that's something – I'm just trying to think then. I was like, what helped me – because I really struggled with anger to the point where I had to do kickboxing. Mm. But then that ended up fueling more anger for me.
Mm.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. It helped at the beginning, but then as I grew in my faith, it actually fueled more rage. Mm. But I used to like yell at people out of the car. Like I had a real anger problem. Mm. Like I would snap it all the time at people. People close to me, strangers, it didn't matter. And I know it was just actually – it was a few older people or people that were just a bit more mature in the faith in those moments would actually pull me up on it.
Mm.
Be like, what are you doing? You cannot do that straight up. I'd be like, oh. So don't be scared to be that person is my point.
Yeah.
That actually really encouraged me. I think sometimes if you're an explosively angry person.
You need the shock sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you do. And I know that might not always work in your favor, but yeah. it was what I needed anyway. So,
yep. Sloth. I don't know. Ways we could encourage each other to stumble in this is partaking in an activity that's essentially a waste of time. So, like, what are you making time for that steals time from something else? So I'm just going to say, like, examples are social media, your phone use in general, your screen time in general. At the heart of the matter, they really are a waste of time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
I guess partaking in that with someone else – Or, I don't know, encouraging that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's all I could think.
Yeah, all I could think of for this one was more like how to encourage someone out of it. Okay, and I was thinking is like if you had a friend that was struggling with it, like say you had a friend and they've got a mountain of washing and it just keeps on piling up and it's just they complain about it all the time but they're not doing anything about it. Actually going over to their house and going, come on, we're going to do it. We're going to put it away and just making it look achievable, like just showing it can be done and helping them. Because often with sloth, I feel like it seems like a mountain and you need to get over it.
Yep.
Like you need – and sometimes you need someone to come alongside you and go, it actually can be done.
Yeah.
Like so my friend Ash that I stayed with when we were renovating – she's just so productive in a day. She's crazy. And she even says herself she's OCD. But, like, I learned so much being around her going, oh, actually, if I just cleaned up quicker behind myself, then I actually saved myself the hassle time in the long run. So I just think there's a lot in, like, buddying up and actually just seeing how someone else functions and works and knowing that it's actually not a mountain, it's a molehill and it's really easy to cross and it's nothing.
Yeah. Well, and I guess, like, so that can be like physical slothfulness and then spiritual slothfulness. Like maybe one of the things is just be accountable with what's sucking up your time. Sit down and write out your week.
Yep.
And or you know what? Go into the settings on your phone and have a look at how much you're spending on different apps. Mm. Like that's a little bit of a kick up the bum.
Yeah, massively.
If you're feeling like you're not having time for Bible reading or whatever, then I don't know. I just feel like the phone is such a corporate culprit of slothfulness.
Yep.
All right, envy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is easy to say ways we can cause each other to stumble in.
Because this is what stemmed the idea for this episode because I was like envious and lust. Like they're the two things that we really can fall into the trap of, making people envious of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kirst, I don't know about you. Mm. Have you got any ideas how we could do this?
Oh, well, obviously, like, so we're thinking social media.
Hello, influencers.
Yeah.
Well, all of us.
Come on. Social media, boasting.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm boasting about the new thing or the how good my baby sleeps or how, I don't know, whatever it is that you know that or you may not know that somebody else is struggling with, but you're obviously doing it to get some sort of praise.
Yes.
Then that you have no idea the damage that could be doing to somebody else.
And we're not talking about when someone asks you and you answer honestly. We're talking about you crapping on.
Yeah, for no reason.
Like, oh, they just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just your showiness with what you've got, your body, your car, your cash, your boyfriend, your husband, your house, your friends, whatever it is, and whatever platform you do that on, whether it's in real life or online,
either way, just be careful, still making people envious.
Yeah,
and also understanding it's generally speaking when we're trying to make someone envious intentionally, because often we might go, oh, well, I didn't mean to make that person envious. Well, a lot of the times we like making people feel envious. Mm-hmm. We like to be liked.
Mm-hmm.
We like to be desired.
Mm-hmm.
It's like instinctual for us because we want to be desired by our spouse, for example. Mm-hmm. We want to be, you know, it's there's an element where it's a normal thing.
Yep.
But it's very easy for us to fall into that pattern of creating envy in others. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and a lot of the time, if you're not sure, if you feel like, oh, I don't do that, are you portraying an image that's not necessarily correct of yourself? Because if you are, that's definitely you trying to create envy in someone else.
Totally. Yeah. So I was thinking about ways we could encourage other, maybe have a break from social media. So for example, I have taken a break from Instagram.
Yes.
Start hanging out with people in real life and get to know people by building relationships with them. Like we said in the episode, if you're envying someone or the gifting that somebody has or something like that, maybe one of the ways to get over it that is actually start thanking God for what he has given that person, and actually like not praising them for what they have, but
encouraging them with encouraging the gift God has given them
in that. And so one way to do that is get alongside them, build a relationship with them. That's going to stop you from envying them, and it's going to actually make you a friend.
Yeah, and I really like that point you made in that episode. It was good. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, pride.
Your child doesn't need a completion award for every little thing they do. I hate that the athletics carnivals and stuff. They're like, everybody gets a ribbon.
Participation. I personally.
Congratulations, you did the bare minimum.
Yeah, I hated getting a participation
Doesn't
award.
Doesn't build pride, don't you reckon?
It made me feel like, oh, well, I didn't get a place then. That's just me personally. But I just participated. Wow, how great am I?
But like, it's like, just be happy that someone else won and be happy for them. They did it. You're not always the best.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And that can be transferred into all sorts of life lessons for pride, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, pride and envy are very closely linked in the ways that we can cause each other to stumble. So obviously through social media.
Yeah, buffing people up.
Buffing people up.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, giving people the glory rather than God.
Mm-hmm.
You could be someone who justifies somebody else's pride by saying things like, oh, you've worked so hard for that, which may not necessarily be wrong in and of itself, but maybe just thinking about the way that we're wording things to people.
Yeah.
If they've skipped Bible study and church and a bunch of stuff to get whatever it is that they've been in heavy pursuit of, that's not something to be praised.
No, we shouldn't be. Yeah,
praised.
Yeah. No, yeah, no,
do you know
I agree.
I mean?
Yep.
So just thinking that through.
Yeah, and also like, no, it's gone.
Okay. Ways we can encourage each other then. Be careful with what you like or don't like on social media. Whatever emojis or comments you're making, that's communicating something to a person who has something. Mm. If you are staring at the photo on your phone and you're thinking, dirty, da 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 da, don't like it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like I've been guilty of that. It's like, well, just I think social media needs to just.
And when we encourage other people, especially in the church, because I think this is where we can cause people into the sin of pride into the church particularly, is that we say, oh, I'm just encouraging them. And I'm like, how is the wording that you're encouraging them? Because are you being like, wow, you're so amazing at that? Or am I saying, wow, I've been so encouraged to see how God is growing you in this area.
Bringing
I think, which
back
is what you were
God,
saying, but like,
not
yeah, but
us.
That's right.
Yeah,
being
like
wow,
I'm so proud
God
of
is
you,
growing that in
like,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give glory to God. All right. And obviously accountability in that area, that also can be a pretty secretive sin. So talk to somebody about the things that you're struggling with. Last one.
Don't have your tits out.
I was going to say what you're dressing in. Cass has translated that into something else.
Look, I'm bigger busted and I struggle with this because I'm like, if I wear a cow neck, trust me, it does not diminish them. So you have to dress for your body type. I get it. But also like there's just some tops where I buy them and I'm like, they weren't like this, and then I'm out and I'm like, my boobs are out and I don't mean them to be. So then I've had to throw them out because I'm like, it's just, it's not worth. Like I just felt really uncomfortable. I went out and then I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a brand new top and it's really more boobie. Because you know when you try it on a shop and sometimes and you're like,
it'll be fine.
And I really like the top, but then I'm like, it doesn't matter.
If that thought crosses your mind of should I be wearing this? The answer is no.
Yeah. Yeah, and, yeah, I'm not saying that to be a prude and gross and modest, but I'm just – it is like who – be self-sacrificial. Mm. Don't cause someone to lust. Mm. And I'm not saying – look, people are going to have their own things that they're into and they're going to lust over anyone and everyone, okay? Yeah. There's some weird stuff out there. But you know the bare minimum at least you can do.
Yeah, totally.
And I think this is something I've had to grow in big
time.
Same,
same.
Like even when it's like wearing exercise tights, I make sure I wear a shirt that covers my bum.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like things like that. I'm like and maybe I'm more aware of that because of the ministry stuff we do, but I'm like it's just not necessary.
Yeah.
It's really not.
I think you do grow in that as you get older. I know that I definitely have.
Yeah.
When I think back.
Oh, gosh.
I just don't even want to think back.
Oh, don't. You should see some of the photos I had to delete off Facebook. Only a few, like a year ago, I was like looking through old photos and I was like, oh, why are these still on here?
I don't know if this really fits, but don't be flirty.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Like out of context. In context, it would be with your husband.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if you're dating someone or something. Yeah. Don't intentionally try and become the apple of the
The
apple of someone's eye.
That's good.
You still want to be pointing because trust me, if you're going to marry that person, you still want them to have eyes on Jesus, not just eyes on you.
Yep.
You know? Mm. So you want to
because you're going to get honor old them. Wrinkly,
yeah.
Jesus won't.
But yeah, you definitely when it comes to lust and also I want to be really clear. You need to be really aware of what your demeanor is like, affectionate wise.
Mm.
Because a lot of people are not used to any affection. Mm. I am not a physical touch person.
Mm.
Now, if a dude was just being his general self, but was like always had his hand on my shoulder, for example, or like laughed and touched my knee, to me, I'd be like,
That's a bit of a sexual thing. Yeah.
And
because
so, like,
you read it as a different way than then they're giving off. And it's just.
And so they may mean nothing to it, but they need to be super aware.
Yeah.
So if you're one of those people, you need to be super aware that you can actually cause someone to lust in the way that you're being. Or freak out, that too. Yeah, I freaked out. But you know what I mean? If I was someone that was sexually attracted to that person, I might have been like,
oh, they're into me. Or
yeah,
whatever.
And that's really dangerous territory.
Mm.
I'm married, they're married, whatever. You know, like, I don't know. That actually hasn't happened, but I'm just
You're snowballing. Yeah. In a good way.
Just sounds really bad reflection for me.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. And I know people that are like overtly affectionate and they've openly said to me like they have to work on it, particularly females.
Mm.
If you're a super affectionate person, and you're married and whatever, well, anyone, you need to rein it in. You actually need to rein it in.
Just like save it all up for your husband.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously with the opposite sex.
Yeah. One thing I was thinking about for this was in terms of ways we encourage each other. Accountability for lust, it doesn't stop when you suddenly get married. I don't think I've had a single conversation my entire married life, I've been married for 8.5 years, when somebody has asked me, how are you going with lust? When I thought about that, I thought that is a scary thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, whether you're married, you're single, you're young, you're old, it's not something that just goes away.
No, it's
once
not.
Once you put a ring on it.
No, I know. And no one talks about it,
that's
right?
That's what I mean.
And that's what we talk about in the episode. It's a very secret sin.
Yeah.
But it is very true. We need to talk about it more. Because the reason why I was smirking at you when you were saying that is because I literally had this conversation with my good friend only a week or two ago because we're talking about during pregnancy you have weird and whacked out dreams. Very weird.
Yeah.
And I was saying I wake up sometimes feeling gross. But it does cause you, your mind goes there during the day or whatever and you're like, oh my gosh, this is like what is going on in my head and like there's hormones and it's just gross.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it is something that we are all going to have to work towards. And the fact of the matter is you marry your spouse, you love them. There is always going to be someone more attractive out there.
Totally.
Always. Yeah. You could marry I don't know who's a really attractive person. I can't think of anyone. Jason Statham. I don't know
who that is.
Cool. Vin Diesel. He's a bit old now, isn't he? He's probably not going to do it. Anyway. Great example. There's going to be someone more attractive than that person.
Yeah. Totally. But yeah. No, it doesn't matter how old you are, who you are, what you are, whatever. You
even if you're a pig or a cow.
You need to we can encourage each other by keeping each other accountable in whatever stage of life we're in.
Yeah.
So final comments on that. I think I remember having a pretty intense conversation with someone before and them being pretty challenging to me about how important it is to get comfortable with talking about sex in terms of asking other people how they're going. And I, not that I've actually since probably done that, but I think it's really important. And the older I'm getting, the more I'm realizing that. So we need to be trying to get comfortable with being able to talk about the nitty gritty. Let's bring sin into the light so it's not hidden anymore. I mean, there's Bible passages on this. It's not new ground for us. Ephesians 5:8-14, after listing a bunch of sinful behaviors, says, For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of in all goodness, righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So,
love that.
All of these sins, we serve a God who calls us to be holy as he is holy.
Mm.
And that means we need to be transparent. It means if we want to truly tackle sin, we actually need to be really honest with ourselves, and we need to ask for help where we need it. And when you say things you're struggling with out loud, I guarantee they will lose some of their sparkly appeal.
100%. And they lose some of their power.
And the actual ugliness of that sin will shine and be very clear.
And the shame and guilt kind of lifts.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I want to share Galatians 5:16-25. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. And for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and things like these. I love how it just says orgies and things like these, just casually.
What else?
I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so just remembering that, like, we are led by the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And you can see here, it actually says these are the works of the flesh.
Mm.
But then you've got this fruit of the Spirit, which is like it's going to replace it. It's going to be character, and it's going to give you the behaviors to conquer the flesh of the Spirit, And 1 John 2:3-6, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked, which is Jesus. And so that might sound like I'm not keeping all his commands, so I'm not a Christian, or I don't have the truth in me. But it's coming back to that whole, are we believing we are under grace? Are we believing that we're being transformed by the power of the Spirit of truth into the fruit of the spirits? And that saying I said in one of the other episodes, I can't remember, but are we falling forward in our sin? Because yes, we're going to fall into sin, but are we falling forward? Are we slowly being changed and renewed by the Holy Spirit?
Direction,
and are we seeing
not perfection.
Change? That's it.
Yeah.
And so ending on Philippians 2, 12 to 13, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now not only in my presence but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And I love that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So we should take these sins seriously. Understand we're under grace and mercy.
Yep.
But we should be addressing them.
Yep.
And we should be working bloody hard on it.
Yep.
That was a good Aussie ending.
Yeah. Well, that was good. Okay, well, wrapped up.
Oh, peace out. Never seeing you guys again for seven deadly sins. I mean, as in like never seeing you guys as in the seven deadly sins, guys.
Yeah. Well, you never know. Never say never. Anyway.
No, I'm actually saying never.
She's really.
I'm done. It's been a long few months on
it
these.
It has been. It has been. But.
It's heavy.
It is heavy.
And now we're going to do porn.
In an episode or a few. But yeah, nah, it's good. It's
and a few really other good. Things in between. Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. If you're listening and you're enjoying, please share with your friends. You can listen to the other episodes. Wherever you're listening to, you got to like, you got to subscribe, you got to do all that sort of jazz because the algorithm, it does not work in our favor. The more love we get, the more out there we get to other sisters in the faith. So we would love your support in that. And otherwise, have an amazing, blessed week.
See ya.
See ya.